here this morning. We are continuing our Connect series. So far, we've talked about the importance of connecting with God, and you know, on a corporate level, but also on an individual level. And so we hope that you have taken the challenge and really carved out some time out of your day to spend with the Lord and to get to know your loving Savior, because He wants to know you. He delights to hear your prayers. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants a relationship with you. And then we talked about our relationships. We talked about being unequally yoked and the dangers that are entailed in being unequally yoked with someone else, and how we should find someone who's like our relationships, especially if you're considering a relationship, you know, like a spouse in that direction, that you should have someone who's going the same direction that you are. Says, hey, look, I'm going after God, and I want someone else who's going after God just as much as I am. I want someone who loves God and loves people just the way that I am. And if you have relationships in your life that are leading you astray, that you should cut those ties immediately, because it's going to lead to destruction. Amen. So we talked about the importance of that. And then last week we talked about the importance of connecting for the sake of discipleship. And as my wife mentioned, we had a tremendous crowd on Wednesday night. We had over 82 people show up on a Wednesday night. Amen. I mean, that's incredible. It's really incredible. And so you guys really got the message about small groups as we're deciding, hey, look, we're going to go big by getting small. You guys showed up big in a big way. And so, yeah, give yourselves a hand. Amen. So today we want to continue talking about connecting to others, but for the sake of serving. Okay, and so just a little bit different approach to this morning. And so if you guys have been around for any point in time, you know that we believe in serving here at Hope Community Church. My wife and I and a few others, we went to a conference several years ago in Tennessee. And one of the things that we took away from this conference was they said, hey, look, give your congregation an opportunity to serve. And so that just like lit a fire on the inside of us. We're like, you know, we're going to take this and we're going to really apply this into our lives. And so if you guys know, we started the Hope Serves programs, where we would go out into the community and we would cut grass and clean yards and do all kinds of different things. It was so much fun. We got to do all kinds of different things. And in one time, we even teamed up with the Voice of the Wetlands, and they were cleaning up along the waterways. We said, hey, look, this is our community. We are concerned about our community, and so let's go out and pick up some trash. And so we have a serving heart, and so if you even walk out these doors, our three mission statements are this: restore, disciple, and serve. Amen. And so we believe and not only being restored to God, but not only being a disciple of God, but going back into our community and serving others. In fact, we're going to see that this is a biblical principle, and that's what we want to talk about today. And so whenever Jesus was asked, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He was asked this by the religious leaders. Jesus, he first said in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, 37 through 40, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And so we stress the importance of loving God and having a relationship with God. How many of you in this place say, yes, you know what? I love God and I have a relationship with God. Yeah. Amen. Isn't it good? Isn't it the best to live for the Lord? Isn't it the best to have a relationship with God? And then Jesus says, this is the first and greatest commandment. He says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so we look at the next part of this is loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. How many of you guys love yourself? All right, so we got a few people who are honest in the place. If you brush your teeth this morning, if you combed your hair this morning, if you took a bath this morning, if you put on some clothes, guess what? You love yourself to some level or another, right? Hopefully you did all the above for our sake as well. I'm just picking. So anyway, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so this type of love can only come from loving God. In fact, in the book of 1 John 4, 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And it also goes on to say, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And so we cannot have a true and authentic love for one another apart from having the love of God on the inside of us. Now, there's infatuation and there's all these other different things. But to have a love that is concerned about our neighbor, that truly and only comes from loving and knowing God. Amen? Amen. And so how do we give this love to others? The book of Matthew, Jesus would say this. He says, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him become your servant. The greatest way that we can love others is by serving others. And so what does it mean to serve? I have a definition for you guys. One who advances the interest of others, even at the sacrifice of their own. So anyone who is a parent in this place knows what it's like to sacrifice. Either time, money, effort. You know, you might not feel like doing the clothes, doing all the dirty laundry for your kids, but hey, you know what's best. You don't want your kids walking around with dirty clothes, right? And so you sacrifice your efforts, or you sacrifice your time, you sacrifice even money. You know what it is to prefer someone else over yourself. This is that selfless type of love that Jesus is calling us to, that only comes from knowing God. So we must lay down our selfishness to serve others. Before we jump into the importance of serving, I wanted to just kind of lay out one foundational truth. Because just because you serve others, that doesn't mean that you're saved. All right? And so serve because of salvation, not for salvation. Serve because of salvation, not for salvation. In other words, you cannot do enough good works to earn your way into heaven. You cannot be kind enough to your neighbors where God says, I'm going to open up the gates to you. It's through Jesus and through Jesus Christ alone that we are saved. Amen. In fact, Paul stresses this point several times in the book of Romans. Therefore, by the deeds in Romans 3:20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. So he says right here, by no deeds will you be justified. In other words, what is a deed? It is an act. It is a doing. It is work. He says, none of your work, none of your deeds will bring justification in your life. Now, justification means just as if I had never sinned before God. And the only way that we can obtain that level of justification is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so just a couple of more scriptures to back up that point. In Romans 3:28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. And then one more, Romans 5:1, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I struggled with this in my early years. I thought there was a season whenever I was much younger, in my 20s, And I thought that I can do enough good things that God will excuse my sin. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or am I just talking to myself? So I had this sin in my life, and I thought, well, maybe if I can just be involved in the church, if I can just cut the grass and build all these different things, then surely God would approve of me, and surely he would put a stamp upon my life, because look at all that I'm doing for him. Look at all that I'm doing for the kingdom of God. Thinking that as I'm doing these things that I'm being justified for my deeds. But according to the Bible, it says, by no deed will you be justified. So what I want to bring to you is that though serving is good, and it's a commandment given to us by God that we should serve one another, you are not saved by serving. You are saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Amen. So now that we have that foundational truth established in our lives, we want to look at the importance of serving. In 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, it says this. But the end of all things is at hand, meaning the end is drawing near. And if you if you look at different scriptures where Jesus says, look, the love of many will grow cold in the end times, and people will be lovers of themselves. You see this to such a high level here in this earth. The Bible also talks about there will be wars and rumors of wars. You begin to hear of all these wars that are happening. And the Bible says there will be pestilence in the last days, and you see all the, you know, with the viruses going on around, and there will be earthquakes. You know, we can see the end is drawing near. Is drawing near. He says, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. All right? So he's calling us to this high level to have fervent love for one another and to do it without grumbling. All right, sometimes it's hard just to have fervent love for one another, but then to do it without grumbling brings you to another level. Amen. So maybe you can love your neighbor, but you're like, I love him. All right, fine, whatever. Without grumbling, that's what the word instructs. So here's the thing. What is fervent love? It means to be stretched out, which means getting out of your comfort zone, getting out of that realm that you are comfortable in, being intentional and being sincere. That is the kind of love that he's calling us to get out of our comfort zone, to get out, to serve someone is really getting out of your comfort zone, getting out what you want to do at that very moment. Say, you know what? I'm going to choose to serve someone else. I'm going to have this fervent love for one another, and I'm going to be intentional about it. And so that verse 10 says this, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So the second point is that we serve to bring God glory. We serve to bring God glory. And so what the scripture is saying is that, hey, look, as whatever ability that God has given you, and he said, look, to some will be given the gift to speak and to others. And so some will have the ability to speak and to share your testimony with other people. But then he said to some, as you minister, as you begin to look after the needs of others. And so what does that include? That includes everything. Whether you, hey, maybe you have an awesome ability to make things sparkle, to clean things up. Hey, we can use you at the church. We have several ladies who are cleaning. But if you would decide, hey, I'm going to use what God has given me, and I'm going to use it for the glory of God. Or perhaps you have been given the ability to build things, to design things, or manage things, or talk to people, or encourage people, or counsel people. Whatever it may be, that you would take what has been given to you, and that you would be a steward over what has been given to you, and that you would serve others through the gifts that God has given you. Amen. In the Bible, as each one has received the gift, minister it to one another, all for the glory of God. We serve to bring God glory. Whenever we're using our abilities and our talents, the things that God has given us, when we're using it for his glory and he gets all the glory, people begin to take notice and they begin to give God glory as well. Amen. So then in Matthew 25 verse 40, he says, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." So whenever you work, whatever it is that you do, that as you're doing it to others, you're really doing it to God. Isn't that incredible? So as you begin to serve others, you're actually doing it unto God. Not that anything that we can do can add anything to who he is, but you are doing it for him. You're doing it for his glory and for his glory alone. And what I like about this is even as we are doing, you know, being about serving for his glory, that as we're serving the needs of others, that God will in turn begin to reward us and meet our very needs. And so that brings me to my next point. Serve and God responds. Serve and God responds. And to illustrate this, we kind of mentioned a little bit last week about the parable of the 5,000 and how Jesus fed the 5,000. And so I just want to look at that just a little bit more. It's in the book of Mark chapter 6, 39 through 44. And Jesus was trying to get away. He had been speaking to the crowds, and he was trying to find a place where him and his disciples can just have some private time together. He was trying to get away from the crowds. Is at the end of the day, he was just ready to, you know, be alone. When all of a sudden he sees the crowds just like following him and just longing to hear more of what he was saying, and he has so much compassion for the crowds, he laid aside his desire to relax. And he said, you know what, I'm going to begin to teach this crowd because I can see that they are hungry. And so in Mark 6, 39, 44, Jesus begins to command his disciples, because his disciples were like, Lord, why don't you just send these guys away? Send them away so they can go to Five Guys Burgers and Fries and get them something to eat. Or they can go to Texas Roadhouse, or they can go to wherever. Are you getting hungry yet? The disciples were like, hey, Jesus, just send these guys away. And Jesus was like, no, you give them something to eat. The disciples were like, what? We don't have any food. We just got a couple of fish, a couple of bread, a couple of pieces of bread. Jesus is like, no, you're going to feed them. And so he tells his disciples in verse 39, he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up how many baskets? 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. So that's not counting women and children. That is a lot of mouths to feed, all right? So if just doing some quick math, if there's at least 5,000 men and there's 12 disciples, then it means each disciple would have to distribute food to at least 416 men, not counting women and children. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. That's like if this building was filled, we got about 200 chairs in here, that's like double the amount of this building. So that's each person would be responsible for at least that many people. And so it was the disciples' job to go out and grab the food and serve the food. They were to serve the bread. They were to serve the fish to at least 416 people, which is a lot. That was their job. Now, as they might have been grumbling. In fact, Jesus might have written the scriptures for his disciples, because they were wanting to send the crowds away. But Jesus was like, no, you feed them. As they began to serve, guess what? The Lord provided for them. And how many baskets were left over? 12 baskets. How many disciples were there? As they began to serve, they each went home with a basket full of food. Amen. That's pretty awesome. And how, as they began to minister to the needs of others, God ministered to their needs and provided for their needs. That's incredible. What if we were so concerned about the needs of others over our own needs, and then we would just begin to step out in faith as the disciples had to step out in faith, and we would see God just add to us and provide for our needs just as he provided for the disciples' needs. As you are busy about serving the needs of others, God will in turn look at your needs as well, and he will provide for you. We see this in the book of Hebrews 6:10. It says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and deministered. In other words, God is a just God, and he sees every time that you serve, every time that you prefer your brother or your sister over yourself. He says that God sees it, and he rewards it. He doesn't forget it. He sees all things. Amen. And so you might think, well, nobody sees what I do. And, you know, I do this, and nobody really notices. God sees it. God sees it. And again, as we do it unto others, we are doing it unto him. Amen. And he doesn't just see it, but he is a rewarder. Amen. He is a much better rewarder than we are in the earthly sense. So, the next thing is that we serve to be Christ-like. We serve to be Christ-like. Notice, even in the same story, that Jesus, though he was tired, and though he was just needing a break, and though he was trying to get away from the crowds and just to find some relaxation, he said, you know what? I'm going to prefer these people over my own needs. I'm going to prefer, they have a spiritual need. They are hungry for the truths of the kingdom of God, and they are just longing to hear more. You know what? I'm going to put aside my feelings and my desires and my wants for the sake of them, for their sake, so that they can be enlightened, so that they can have what they need in this moment in time. And that's what it really means to be a servant of God, to serve others, is to lay down your wants, your desires, your rights for others. Notice in this story, too, again, we said there are 12 baskets, but so the disciples each get a basket, but Jesus did not get a basket. Goes to show that, hey, look, he was concerned about others. Besides the fact, hey, he's the bread of life, right? He is the bread of life. He didn't really need a basket. But at the same time, he was so concerned with the needs of others that he put others first before himself. That's what it means to be Christ-like. Mark 10, 45, it says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, he came, he willingly laid down his life for us. His whole purpose in coming to this earth was to lay down his life. Everything that he did was about serving others. And if we're to be Christians, that we are to serve in order to be Christ-like. We ought to have that same mentality, hey, look, others first. Lay down my life, lay down my wants, my desires, let's put others first. So here at Hope Community Church, we've talked about connecting to others for the purpose of serving. We have several ways that you can begin to do this. And one of our first ways, as my wife mentioned, is Hope to the Soul. Or Hope Feeds the Soul, sorry. And so this is geared towards the homeless. We really see the need here in the community. There's so many homeless that come in on a daily basis here at the church, looking for just basic necessities. And so one of the things that we can begin to meet this need is we have brown bags, you know, that have just basic essentials, some food and different things. And so if you're looking and wanting to serve in that degree and help the homeless, that you would be here next Sunday at 9:30 and be in that meeting with Miss Grace. And so every first Sunday of the month, whenever we do Ministry Sunday, whenever we go out into the streets, whenever we do evangelism, there's also going to be a group here at the church putting together those bags, putting together those brown bags with food and basic necessities to give out to those who are coming in. So if you feel like really burdened for the homeless, this is a way that you can serve and connect to others. Amen. You can connect to the group who's putting these bags together, but also you can connect to those who are less fortunate than yourself. And so then we also have our cooking ministry. Mr. Glenn and his wife, Miss Lena, head this up. And this is like an in-house ministry to those who are sick and shut in, who are not able to come to church because maybe a sickness in the body or whatever it may be. They connect to these people. But at the same time, if you're willing to be a part of this group, you can connect with this group for the sake of connecting with others. And really, you know, they've been doing an excellent job, and we just truly appreciative to what they've been doing. Amen. We have, you know, Mr. Jeremiah, who's just really thankful for everybody who's given a meal, and they've been really good at that. And so if you want to connect in that aspect, you can do that. It's a great way where you can connect with others for the purpose of serving. And there are several other ways. We also have a thrift store right here in the back. It's called Hope Treasures. And you can connect to those in our community. You can come and sweep the floor for us or organize some shelves. And as you do so, there are customers coming in, and you can connect with them and share the love of the Lord in your life, how God has impacted your life. And so just another great way that you can serve. If you have at least a good education, you feel that you can pour into the young people, the children, you can connect with children through Hope Extreme on an educational level. You know, kids get dropped off here Monday through Wednesday. They get tutored. So we're always looking for people who can pour into these kids, you know, on an educational level. Connecting them not only to education, but connecting them to the love of God, that someone loves them enough and is concerned about their education enough to pour life into them. And then if you feel like, hey, you know what, I feel that the Lord's even calling me even higher, we're always looking for people to connect to our children on a spiritual level, as far as, you know, like our children's church ministry and in our nursery ministry. You can connect with these kids and point them towards the things of God by being a part of Hope Kids. And then we also have, this one is kind of like a one-time thing or maybe a twice-a-year thing, but this Saturday, we're going to do a men's work day. And so you can come. I got like a ton of projects for you guys to do. If whoever shows up, but you can connect with other men in the church, you know, for the sake of, you know, getting things done, obviously, but you can start to build these friendships, these relationships in the church and get some things done at the same time. Knock some things off of my to-do list. So that's the idea behind that. But anyway, we as a church, we need to be mindful about these things. We need to be mindful about serving to bring God glory and serving to be Christ-like and to serve not for our salvation, but to serve because of our salvation, because of what Christ has done on the inside of us, because of our life has been changed. We want to go out and serve as well. And so this will always be the heartbeat of Hope Community. This will always be something that burns within us. It's connecting people and giving other people an opportunity to serve. So we thank you for all those who do serve at some level or another in this ministry. And I just encourage you just to maybe think about, hey, how does God want me to serve to the next level? How does God want me to serve in my neighborhood? How does God want me to serve on my workplace? How does God want me to serve with my coworkers? How does God want me to serve with my classmates? I believe that God can use you in every aspect of life. Amen. You know, that as you're working unto the Lord. You say, God, my work is for you. I'm checking this person out at the register because it's for you. I'm loading up this lumber in this truck all for you, God. I'm welding this pipe all for your glory, oh God. Everything that I do, Lord, I do it to bring you glory. Amen. I'm teaching these students. I'm pouring out my life, whatever it is. I'm doing it for your glory. Right now, I just want to encourage you to examine your own hearts and close your eyes as we just begin to think about the areas that are the abilities that God has given you. And ask yourself the question, are you serving with what God has given you? Are you willing to be Christ-like? Are you willing to use your abilities and your talents and your giftings to bring God glory? Do you go on the job just mumbling and complaining all the time? Or do you do it as though you are working unto the Lord? Have your motives been pure? Do you need God to help you in this area? And if so, would you just pray with me right now, Lord Jesus? I just come before you and I just ask, Lord, for your help, Lord. Lord, that you would change my heart. God, that from now on, Lord, that I would have a servant's heart, that I would want to be like Christ and prefer others. God, I don't want to mumble about it. I don't want to grumble about it. Lord, change my heart. Help me, Lord, to be a servant just as you were a servant to us. You lay down your life for us. Help us, Lord God, to lay down ours for others. We just pray, Lord, that you would forgive us, Lord, just for if we've been a slothful worker, if we've just been a worker that just complains, if we haven't served, God, that you would just forgive us. Help us, Lord, not to be so selfish. Help us to be more like you in the name of Jesus. We thank you and give you all the praise and all the glory in this place. And let God's people say amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We encourage you to join those meetings next Sunday. Also, would you bring, we are needing some more food items. So if you could bring in food for next Sunday, canned items, and then also items that like are very easy to eat, like right away, because a lot of people that we are serving, they can't open a can of corn because they don't have a can opener, but like a can of Vienna sausages or like tuna fish to go, or those kind of things would be so helpful as we fill up those bags next week. So that would be just a thing. We're going to have a box in the middle of the stage and just bring in some canned items, food items, different things. And of course, that men's work day is from 10 until 2. 10 until noon. He didn't say that. But the men's work day is next Saturday, 10 until noon. Hope Feeds the Soul is at 9:30. And our ministry Sunday is next Sunday, 3 until 6. We love you guys. See you Wednesday for Discipleship Wednesday. And be safe. Be safe out there in Jesus' name.